God's been working in interesting ways. Now, leading up to this week, I was asked by a young person, Mark, can you just tell me what to do as that makes life so much easier? Yeah, we do this big thing about it needs to be your choice. You've been given free will on purpose. God wants you to choose him. And the young person in front of me was just saying, look, just tell me what I need to do because that will make life a lot easier. My parents tell me what to do. And I don't mind when they tell me what to do. What is it that I need to do? So as a youth worker, I'm sort of like, no, a bit uncomfortable with that. But we took the opportunity to look at, well, what does the Bible say we are to do? So we hit the book of Leviticus, yeah? For those of you that know much of your Bible, Leviticus is the really boring book that everyone struggles with. But we took it as a challenge that if you want to know what it is that you are called to do, we thought we'd start right back there and look at what was God's people called to do. And actually, if we believe God's word, that there is treasure in God's word, well, wherever you are in the book, we shouldn't ignore things like Leviticus. So we went, we basically did a bit of a hunt for God's treasure in the book of Leviticus. But I'm going to come back to that later. But before we get going, I want to do something a little bit active. Have you all got arms? No. Yes. No, some of you haven't. All worshipped out, yeah? Right, so we found a game. It's a brilliant game. It's a Bible game, and it's called the Guess It game, and it's absolutely superb. And I'm going to read out on the back of the card, some statements, and it's either a place, a person, or a thing from the Bible. Yeah, this actually goes, for those of you that want to know, this actually goes with the Action Bible. So you then question whether that's right and you go and look it up. That's the idea. So it gives you the page number and the verses to go and look at. So these are all verses out of the Bible. So let's start with the first one. Oh, would help if I could read. Can I have somebody who can read next to me? Excellent. The quick.
What do you want? Okay, then. The closest river to me was the Pishon.
Thank you.
P-I-S-H-O-N.
Some think, as soon as you know the answer, you need to put your hand up. No, you stay here. Some think I was near modern Iraq. You do the next one.
Four eyes were opened here.
Something fell here. Mark, what do you think it is? I am the Garden of Eden. No, he didn't get anything apart from pride. Right, here we go again. I knew that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Oh, what is it first? It's a person.
I am a companion of owls.
Ooh, owls. Tweet, tweet. Yeah, that one. One of my kids is named...
Jemima,
thank you.
Some say I didn't write the book that bears my name. Put your hand up first.
Put your hand up first. Oh, God. You understood putting your hand up, didn't you? Excellent. Yes, I am Job. Well done. That's two for the clergy. Come on, guys.
What's this category?
Oh, category. Another person. Here we go. I'm related to... No, you do that one.
I'm related to Jehoshaphat and Zerubbabel. First recorded words, let it be so now.
Or if you're dyslexic, it says let it be snow. But it's let it be so now. My grandfather was Jacob.
Another grandfather was Hel. Oh, Heli.
Excellent.
H-E-L-I. Very focused.
Excellent. I have many famous relatives.
Jesus.
Just check. Yes, it's Jesus. Well done. One for the young people. If we've got any sort of like questions about it, you come and read the card later. It's fine. It's another person. Here we go. The Spirit was in me.
Jacob. Jacob, it's many generations later.
It's a different Jacob. Thank you, Mark.
What you said. What you
right.
Said.
So the Spirit was in
Hang
me.
On, I think he's got an answer.
You've got this one. No.
Oh, where was we up to?
Number 19.
I stood before Eleazar the priest.
That's the one. I was a fighter.
Person.
No. Right. I have to say, close though, close. I was a fighter.
I heard people shouting.
Nathan. It was Joshua. Well done. Excellent. Superb.
Category?
Category is, this is a place.
Jesus talks about me.
I have gates.
People don't really know where I am. Heaven!
No, it wasn't heaven. Anybody else want to put their hand up? No, it wasn't Jerusalem. Someone's got it. Hell, excellent. Well done. Superb.
We'll take that one.
We'll get a couple more. So this is things again. I was on the far side of the desert.
Some sheep were near me.
Jesus referred to me. Oh, no.
A hand up first.
No. Oh, hang on. No, it is a thing, not a person.
Oh, Stephen mentioned me.
Burning bush is correct. Well done. Wait, we have done some of this with some of the young people before.
Category
is, this is another thing. We'll just do another couple more. So I was in the valley of
Ella.
E-L-A-H.
Benjamites knew how to use me. He's put his hand
I
down.
Wouldn't miss a hair.
Is this a person?
Oh, it's a thing. I wouldn't miss a hair.
I showed people there was a God in Israel.
That battle is the Lord's, not mine. Nope. It's a thing.
I went to battle with a staff.
700 lefties this were skilled at using me.
My face hurts because I'm a lefty.
No. Daisy. No. Go on now.
I've killed lions and bears.
Ollie. It is a sling. Only lefties can use a sling. That's what David used. Category. Sorry. Person. Last one. Here we go. I used a lot of pitch.
I had 7 other family members.
It is Noah. Well done. Excellent. Superb. Thank you very much.
One more.
No, not one more. We'll do it later. It's fine. It gets a little bit addictive after a while. And when you have arguments about, I'm pretty sure Jacob was not his grandfather, then you have to go and look for it and find out what the truth is. And actually, they've been right so far. So did hell. And it was hell we were looking for. So well done. I think we were pretty even there. But yes, the young people did have an advantage, I'm afraid. So let me just put them down. Now, that was just a little bit of fun. But there was a reason for it. Because, leading up to this talk, hang on. What, who, or where? That would have helped, wouldn't it? 3 things chosen from random. Now, we've been seeing how God talks through situations and actions with our young people. And I meet with Ollie. Ollie's one of the people that I mentor. And we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke. And in looking at the Gospel of Luke, it's been Ollie-led when we meet up. So Ollie says, I'd like to look at this part of Luke's gospel because I'm not sure what this means. And then we have a bit of a chat and a conversation about it. And probably about 8 times out of 10, we then go into cell group and Mandy's plans exactly the same topic as we've been talking about. And we've just seen how God's just tying stuff together when Ollie's leading something, even if I did know what was happening with Mandy's teaching or Paul's teaching or Karen's teaching, Ollie doesn't. And we've just been seeing how God uses that space. Now, we've also, as a youth group, got involved with a thing called The Forge, which is a Bromley youth event for young people, looking at equipping them with gifts of the Spirit. And all I'm going to say is, when you see young people's jaws open and their eyes go wide because God's turned up through something that someone else has said to them, that there is no way they could have known it prior. Even if their youth workers were talking, they would not have known that. That has been amazing. So we've been seeing God turn up. We've been pressing in, we've been seeking after God, we've been expecting miracles in places and for him to communicate with us. So with the theme of tonight, I sat down with Ollie and I said, what do you think I should talk about? And he did a typical teenage thing, which went, I know, got no idea. Shrugging of the shoulders. And we'd just been playing this game, which is where it came from. And we went, you know what, let's see whether God's got it sorted. So we shuffled the pack, we spread them out, and Ollie picked a card to start off with. And the first card he picked, I've only got two, it said, I am an altar. I know, that's interesting, because we'd been looking at a few bits about altar, but we thought, oh, I wonder whether that's it. So we picked another card, and that card said, I am a rock. So, okay, I'm a rock. Altars are often made out of stone. And we went, it felt like we were playing, is it pontoon? When you keep going and you might bust. Yeah, we were doing a little bit of that. So we picked another one. And it said, I'm the mustard seed. And I just had a conversation with Mark about his preach about 2 weeks ago on the mustard seed. And at that point we went, okay, we're going to stop there because we think God's got this sorted. So tonight I'm going to be talking on these three things. But I'm going to be talking about it in relation to that first statement that I had, which was living a life that is worthy. So yes, let's see where we go. Here we go. Altar rock. Now, just done that bit. Excellent. So, just looking to see where this goes and whether it makes sense. Yes, it does. It's all right. I've managed to copy some of my words into two places. So that's the altar, the rock, and the mustard seed. So the altar is a symbol at the center of the Jewish faith. We've got an altar here. It's not made out of stone. But it's where people would either come in front of God and either look to make themselves right with God or give thanks to him. It's where sacrifice was made. It's where there was thanksgiving. It's where it happened in the Jewish faith. The altar had a significance. Now, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, David, Solomon are just a few of the people who built altars. Whether it was for receiving forgiveness or giving praise, an altar was built as part of their worship life. There were other people that were there to beautify the altar. Some of them were made out of gold. Some of them were made out of acacia wood. It's acacia wood. And when they were in the tabernacle, when they had the altar in there, it had to be movable. But they had these big altars made out of stone, out of rock. And they were places of significance for God's people. Now, when we sat down with our young people and we were looking at the book of Leviticus, we came across a video that really helped us in our understanding. And the focal point of this video on the book of Leviticus was an altar, which is why Ollie and I were quite excited when we picked the card that said altar. So we're just going to look at this. Now, it might look like a bit of a game, yeah? You've got the sections across the top. They're the different chapters of the book of Leviticus. And underneath are three different parts of what the book talks about. It talks about ritual, it talks about priesthood, and it talks about purity. Now, there's seven different parts to the book of Leviticus. And this is where we started to find God in the detail. We started to look for the treasures, the gems, the gold, for the heart of God within the book of Leviticus. Now, the ritual parts, they were all about making ourselves right with God, or God's people making themselves right with him. What we must do, give, both individually, but also as a nation or a group. The priesthood bit was about the people that were chosen to stand in on behalf of everybody else. Remember the Holy of Holies that we looked at a while back, yeah? Where the priest would go in on place of everybody else and give thanksgiving to God and look to make people right with God. So the bit about priesthood, the first bit is about how were they chosen, and the second bit was how they had to live by a higher standard. And then we get into the purity bit, which is about what did we need to do to make ourselves set apart for God? What makes us different? We start to hear the thing about living a worthy life. This is what this was about. Purity was about how do we make ourselves live in the right way with God. On one side, this was a personal thing, but on the other side, it had the laws, the justice, the moral laws. And actually, this is where we remember that actually the laws of our land are based on a lot of this, or most of this, should I say. Now these three sections fit perfectly into these chapters, and this is where we start to see some of the gold coming out, some of those gems that we're looking for. So let's look at what it looks like. Here we go. Now you'll notice that the rituals are at either end. And then we come into the priesthood, and then we come to the purity bit, and then there's a bit in the middle, which is 16 and 17, which is really important, and that's the bit that we're probably going to focus on a little bit more tonight. But when we look at either side, on this hand side, I remember I've got to do it all backwards, on this hand side, moving into the middle, that's all about how we deal with God on a personal level. And all the stuff on the other side, on this side, is all about how God's people worked as a group of people, as a community. So when we've got ritual over here, that was about how did we make ourselves right with God. When we've got ritual over this side, this was about what festivals are we keeping to remember what God has done for us. Yeah? So different festivals in the years. And that's the two bits of ritual that are in the book of Leviticus. When it came to the priests, on this side we've got the individual bit of how are people chosen? How are they chosen to be one of God's people that represent people? And on this side, it's how are they supposed to live this higher standard on behalf of people? And then we get to this purity bit. On this side, it's how do we keep ourselves in line with God? And on the other side, as a community, as a group of people, what moral standards do we have? What justice do we have? The law, if you like. Now, the ritual side was very much around remembrance of what God had done, which is what I've said. I suppose the thing that came to us at this point when we're looking at it is the gem is in the middle, 16 and 17. Because 16 and 17 is all about the Day of Atonement. Yeah, once a year, the priests would they would make a sacrifice and they would give thanksgiving to God. They would take two goats. And this day was to take into account all the things that people might have forgotten about. All the things that they either hadn't confessed, they didn't realize wasn't quite in line with God. And what the priest would do, the high priest would come along and they would take two goats. One would be sacrificed and the blood of the lamb would atone. It would cover up the sin of the people. And the other goat They would lay hands on the goat, and they would pray all the sins of the people into the goat, and then they'd send it off into the wilderness to go away and get lost, so to speak. And we've got these two goats, and that was a way of God's people once a year saying, let's make ourselves right with God. Let the high priest make this for us. And you see, the thing is, at this point, we have a bit of a thing in our youth work where, has anybody ever seen the book Where's Wally? Yeah? Has anybody got a book called Where's Wally? Right, excellent. Once you've done Where's Wally book, whichever annual it is, you can turn to the page and you know exactly where Wally is, don't you? No? Do you get lost? Well, maybe it's just me. I can turn to the page and, yeah, Wally's round about there. Yeah, I know exactly where it is. And with the Bible, what you can do is you can find Jesus in the Bible pretty much anywhere. And we spend time trying to find out where Jesus is in the Bible. This is a point where we found Jesus in Leviticus. Yeah. So, the reason being that it's almost like it's his face looking back at us. Now, some of us that were away will know this was an activity that we did with our young people where we coloured in a different part of the papers as a way of responding to God. And then we pulled it all together and we started to see the face of Jesus looking back. And in some ways, when we were looking at Leviticus and we were looking at this Day of Atonement, we started to hear the same sort of phrases as we hear about Jesus. Yeah? About people being made right. You see, in Jesus, the Day of Atonement that happened annually happened once and for all. And for all people. He was the goat that was sacrificed. He poured out his blood to cover the sin, to atone for the things we'd done wrong. But he was also the one who took our sin and took it away. The Day of Atonement is a forerunner to what we see God doing in Jesus. It's like where we start to see Jesus in this point, and we go, ah. So he's the one who makes us right with God. He redeems us, and it's at the altar, at the center of the Jewish interaction with God, at the center of that worship that they hold really dear to themselves, it's at that point that we start to see Jesus. In some ways, this led me on to looking at Jesus' call to us. You see, looking at Leviticus, I'm going to come back again. The ritual, either side. We're made right with God, not through anything that we do, but through what Jesus did. It says in 2 Corinthians, I am a new creation. But I'm a new creation through God and through Christ. The priesthood, a little bit further in. Did you know we're all part of the royal priesthood? God's holy priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about that. You know, it's not for them, the select anymore. There is a way into God's presence. And the purity, to accept his forgiveness, to be made right with God through him, but to also heed his words. And this is where I want to look at Jesus' call on our lives. Is to accept his forgiveness, yes, but to heed his words. And whenever Jesus brought somebody close to him and he forgave them or he forgave their sins, he would say, go away and sin no more, because there was a change. To be forgiven and to respond. For Jesus, when he's talking, there's a higher standard set by him. Forgiveness, there would be 7 times you had to forgive somebody. And when he was challenged about how many times should I forgive somebody, is it going to be 7 or is it going to be 6 or can I get away with 5? He says 7 times 77, which is? I don't know either. Basically, Jesus was saying, keep forgiving. Yeah? I don't think it was an exact number. When Leviticus talks about justice and it talks about retribution, and fairness and what's rightfully mine. Jesus talks about loving your enemy, which is the complete opposite. See, Jesus' standards are higher. What we still have is the act of remembrance. God, who is interested in his creation, that has sent his son to beckon us back to him. What do we remember when we get to that point? When we're looking at those rituals at the end and we're looking at what do we remember? We remember the gospel of Jesus, the good news, all that he has done for us. We still have these times of getting together and celebrating. So we have Pentecost, we have communion, we have Easter Day. These are our times as family that we come together and we remember and we say, this is what our God has done. It's still there. So in some ways, when we're looking at all of this and we're looking at, right, well, we've got this book, we've got the law, we've got all of that, but there's a call on our lives to not just accept the forgiveness and the love, but to respond to it. Now, Peter, the rock. Peter was called the rock. And I always used to think, the rock, well, you know, it's a good solid ground to build on. And as we researched this, we looked into it a bit, we realized that actually a rock is a term that is used for God. Because God was classified, they used the term rock to describe God. Because he was, it was a solid foundation. Rocks seem to, they'll stay there and time passes by. If you go back to a place where you've been on holiday when, as a kid, you guys won't have this, but as an adult, yeah, I will go back. What's that big rock that people climb in Spain? Calpe, thank you. When you go back there, it's the same rock. It looks exactly the same. The streets look different. The restaurants are different. The people are different. The rock's still the same. And God is described as like a rock. Now, Peter was described, you are the rock on which I will build the church. I feel Jesus was saying, actually, you're going to be created in God's image. Now, when we were out with Junior Church this morning, there was a statement. We were looking at the armour of God and we were looking at the sword of the Spirit. And one of the young people said, well, the Spirit of God, that's what came at Pentecost. And it was only at Pentecost that that's when the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit was there all the time. It didn't just arrive at Pentecost. The place that it rested on God's people changed. You see, when we start looking at the Day of Atonement, we look at when Jesus brought us back to God. That's the point that the Holy Spirit went from being just on a person and anointing one person and being inside of us. Jesus brought God from a distance behind a curtain to in here. So, the rock. There's a call on Peter's life to be different. There's a call on his life to have stability, to build, to grow, not just to accept. The parable of the wise man, what does he build his house on? It's the rock. We're all called to be like Peter. God-like, created in his image. Our identity is where we start building from. Not our skills, not our doings, not our gifts, not the things that we give God, but in who we are in Christ. That is where we start building. You see, that old structure of making ourselves right with God is replaced with God's made us right. And anything other than actually having Jesus at the center is like foolishness. It's like building on sand. Remembrance, something that will last and go on from generation to generation. Guys, if you look around the room, you will notice that there are different generations here. But what you don't probably know is that actually Christians have been worshipping on this site for over 150 years. What you probably don't know is that in Orpington, we've had Christians here for about 1,000 years. And what you do know is actually we have had believers and followers of Jesus for over 2,000 years. It's the church, it's the people, it's God's people who are called to keep going, to influence the next generation, to share our faith. We're called to more than a call, we're called to actually respond. And I think that's where we come to the mustard seed. Faith as small as a mustard seed, what can you do?
Move a mountain,
thank you. You can do anything. I suppose that's some of the things we've been seeing with our young people, is that trust in God, that actually he is on the move. He is wanting to speak. He is wanting to act. And within all of that, if we know that with the littlest bit that we have got, he can do wonders. You see, that call that Jesus has, when we respond to God's call in our lives, when we turn to him, we have the joy of watching things unfold around us in our lives, to see God at work, to pray with him, to look for him in different places, not just in the text. Yeah? If you ever tried playing like the Where's Wally of Jesus in the world, that is brilliant. Because if you can see Jesus at work somewhere, go and join him, because it's great fun. We get to call on his kingdom into this place, not just waiting. So we're looking for things to grow, things to expand. We're looking for all of that. But what have we got to give? We've got to respond to God, and we've got to respond to his call. So, living a life that is worthy, responding to his call. For all those that believe in Jesus, for all those that believe in Jesus are saved. That is what we're told. And this is how we respond. We turn to him, bringing our ways in line with him. And what does that mean? So I'm going to be a little bit directive now, because that's what I've been asked to do by some young people. It means not swearing. Don't swear. Don't put people down. Don't be greedy. Don't be nasty when people get annoying. I've written down, don't sleep around as God values relationships and marriage. Don't get angry, don't lie, don't get drunk. But he does say, do love your neighbour. Stand up for those that can't stand up for themselves. Share all that God has given you. Bring hope wherever you go. Make a difference. Trust God in all things. Praise him, stand firm, and love those that others push away. In some ways, he says, breathe life wherever you go. I think Anthea said earlier on, you were talking about the breath that God breathed into Adam when you were speaking out. And we're asked to go and breathe life into people. And to also have fun seeing God at work in us, through us. Now, in order to respond tonight, I've got two things that I'd like to do. Is I would like to come to an altar, and I would like to remember what God has done for us. I would like to remember what it actually means. So I'm going to ask Mark to come forward, and we're going to share a very quick communion with each other. And whilst Mark's getting his stuff prepared, I'm just going to stick a song on. Which is just about coming in front of God and being real with him about where is our life and how do we respond to him.